Well, thank you, Karen, for that beautiful, beautiful song. And thank you all again for being with us today. I hope you're enjoying your 4th of July celebration this weekend. Hope you're being very thankful for your nation, the greatest nation that the world's ever seen, apart from Israel, under the kings, and definitely apart from what Israel will be one day when the King of Kings comes and sets up his earthly domain for 1,000 years. Today I'm preaching about chosen and free. This is one of the great debates in Christianity that I have heard ever since I've been a minister, and even before that actually, but still, it seems to be a discussion that's being ramped up in these days. You hear much of it being proclaimed by what are called Calvinists. These are people that follow the teachings of John Calvin, a great man of God, a great theologian, a great teacher, but also a man, and nothing more than a man. We've got to make sure we remember that. Martin Luther, who preceded Calvin by a few years, was also a great man. But we've got to remember that he was still just a man. What I hope to be, and what I want to be, and what I want this church to be, and what I believe the church needs to be, is biblical in our understanding. And that's what we're going to strive to do through this. This week and next week, we're going to be talking about some of the things that divide the church right now that shouldn't. The things that really are dividing the church right now should be things that are giving the church a great joy and a great thankful heart. We look at one verse today, and this was in our passage as we've been traveling through John. We talked about it a little bit last week, but I want you to look at it again with me today. And it's just one verse, and it's John chapter 12, verse 16. And there Jesus says to his disciples, and by the way, when Jesus speaks to his disciples, though those early disciples were also apostles, we've got to remember that when Jesus speaks to his disciples, he's speaking to us as well. He's saying things to us that we need to make sure we hold on to and maintain and practice in our walk with Jesus each day. And to those disciples and to people like me and you, if you've been born again, Jesus said this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." And whenever you look at that, "You did not choose me, but I chose you," you see the preeminent work of God. You see the work of the Savior looking out into a world, looking out into people who would have never sought him out. As a matter of fact, the Bible declares that. And if we'll be honest with ourselves, we know it's true. We would have never sought God. It took God seeking us. But we would have never chosen God had he not chosen us first. And that's what Jesus is getting his disciples to understand here. And it's what the church needs to get back to. The understanding that God Almighty, the great Savior of humanity, chose us. We didn't choose him. But he also said, "I chose you and I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit." Friends, that's something the church has to realize we're sadly lacking in today. We're not fruit bearers anymore, and we need to get back to that. We're going to be talking about that a little bit in the weeks to come, but I just want you to think today about how much fruit you bear, how much fruit I bear, how much this church bears, and how much maybe you're a part of another church, how much fruit that church is bearing. We need to be a people who are overflowing with glorious fruit that we're bearing and sharing with a lost and dying world. That's what Jesus came into this world to do, to seek and to save the lost, and then to empower us, the lost who are now saved, to empower us to go out into this dark world and help them understand the light that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. What kind of prompted this was, and I thought it was really a work of God, was just a few weeks ago when Walker Derrick came up after the service. He was talking to Terry, and then he talked to me a little bit, but he wanted to ask a question of us that has a biblical answer that we need to make sure we're all aware of and we are able to share that answer. Walker wanted to know, if heaven was perfect, how did Satan sin? That's a good question. It goes hand in hand with the question that people ask today. And that question that people ask today goes something like this. If God is good, like you people say he is, then why is there such evil in the world? Well, the answer to that is in a little theological understanding that is a dividing point in the church, and it shouldn't be. But that little theological truth is free will. When God created the angels and created humanity, He put within us a free will. He didn't make us like a bunch of puppets that were dancing around on the strings of the puppeteer. He didn't make us automatons that were just wound up and set in motion, obeying a set, ordered way and never varying from it. Because He is a good God, He gave us free will. Now, we could talk a lot about Satan, but the fact of the matter is Satan and the demons who followed him, the same issue with them is the issue with us. They had free will. Now, we'll talk about that at a later time, what the difference is between that event and what's going on now in the spiritual world. But what we're more interested in is what's going on in our world right now. What's going on in the world of the church? We've got to realize that we are a people who have free will. And we've got to make sure that our free will is exercised in accordance with His will. I want you to see with me this morning right quick that we've had free will from the very beginning of creation. Look with me at Genesis chapter 2. There we find these words. This is in verse 7 and 8. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east. And there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We go on and we find these words in verses 15 through 17. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. He gave him glorious work to do. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." God gave the man He created free will. Now, the free will that Adam had and that Eve had is the same free will that we have today. The only difference is our free will is now tainted with a lot more sin than Adam and Eve had. We've got to understand that Adam and Eve were given a garden to dwell in and to prosper in. A garden to cultivate and to take care of, and to see that garden begin to grow and encapsulate the world. But because of their rebellion against the clear dictates of God, they found themselves not able to tend the garden anymore. And as a matter of fact, they found themselves cast out of the garden with death hounding them from that day forward. Friends, we've got to get to the understanding today that we do have free will. I don't care who we are. I don't care if you're a Calvinist out there today and you're a follower and a close adherent to the teachings of John Calvin, who said that God was in control of every atom that moves and that nothing could be done apart from God's permissive will, and even going so far as to say everything that happens is according to God's plan. Friends, that can't be true, because that would make God the author of sin, and that can never be stated and should never be thought. God is holy. God is righteous and good. Sin is a part of our life because of our rebellion against His clear command and because of our rebellion against His clear mandate. Sin is in our domain and it's not in God's. Does God permit sin? Yeah. And the reason He does is because the only alternative to that is judgment. And friends, we've got to realize we couldn't bear the judgment of even one sin. A small sin that we might say, because any sin is an affront to the mighty God of heaven and will be judged with death. We've got to make sure we remember that. That's why it's so important to know Christ as our Savior, because Jesus on the cross took the whole penalty of our sin, of our rebellion, and took it all on Himself. We've had free will from the very creation. Adam and Eve had free will. And free will caused them the very same problems that it causes us. So we can't debate and fuss and wonder how far free will goes. Free will has affected all of us. And free will is still affecting us today. If you read books by Sam Harris, the neurosurgeon atheist that is in league with Dennett and some of the others in the New Atheist movement, Sam Harris would tell you that there is no such thing as free will in biological species, because in every biological species, of course, we are one of those, he says. All things that happen are only the result of chemical reactions within us that translates out through our nervous system. No, I'm sorry, friend. Sam Harris is dead wrong. Unless he repents of his sins and comes to faith in Jesus Christ, he'll die lost. And one day he'll be able to know that there is a God in heaven without any doubt. But sadly, if that happens after death, it'll be too late. One of the things, you might think it's silly, but one of the things I pray for often is that Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, Dennett, and others would be saved. That they come to the realization that the God who they reject is the God who's given them the free will to reject Him. Well, I had a little thought while I was writing these things and thinking these things through and copying down my verses, and my thought went something like this, and I absolutely say I don't take any credit for this, because chances are great that I've heard it from somebody else or put the thought together from somebody else. But my thought in the midst of all this thinking about free will was this: what you get from God is contingent upon and proportional to how much of yourself you give to Him. I think that's pretty accurate, because I think too many times we're looking for blessings from God when we've not surrendered ourselves to His will. And whenever we find ourselves in the midst of the will of God, we will find ourselves in the best opportunity and the best way that we'll ever be. Well, we've seen here, just short order, that we've had free will from the very beginning of creation. But I want you to also notice that we've had free will from the very beginning of the church. I want you to look with me at Acts chapter 2. And this is in verse 37 through 41. We find these words. Peter has preached the great sermon at Pentecost. Great things are going on. Great things are happening. The Holy Spirit has come down to be in the midst of all those who are there. People began to be pierced in their heart. They began to understand the need they have for this God who Peter's preached. So I want you to follow me in your copy of God's Word. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 says this, and this follows the preaching of Peter. And it says, "Now when they heard this, all those who heard were cut to their heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself.' And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." Notice this free will in the midst of the church. Friends, I don't see how anybody can miss this, but so many do. I'm going to leave Calvinism to the skinny jeans and the shirt falling out crowd, and I'm going to preach the Bible, and I'm going to preach the truth of God, and I'm going to stand on the Word of God, because I know that this is true. You say, "Well, now you disagree in some points with John Calvin." I may, but I don't disagree with God Almighty through the power of His Word. Some may say you disagree with R.C. Sproul, and I will in some places. But I don't disagree with the Word of God. When I disagree with people, I disagree with them because of the Word of God and because I recognize that they're merely men. R.C. Sproul, John Calvin, Martin Luther, or whoever they may be, they're only men. And we need to get back to taking our theology and our understanding from the Word of God that is given to us by God who is the Word. See, this is where we stand, and this is where we shouldn't ever waver. We've got to understand that what we have is the glorious truth of God. You see free will when you hear these men, these women, these children, these people crying out to Peter, "What must we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. for you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise, the promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. How does God call people? See, this is another point of contention with some people, but the best I can tell, and please, if you have another understanding, please call me and straighten me out, because I need straightening out if I'm wrong. But it seems to me that the way God calls people today is through his church. That's why he's called his church to be witnesses to the world, to go out into the world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ, to be in accord with one another, to be on the same ground with one another, and to share the good news of the gospel with a lost and dying world with grace and humility, but also with power. See, this is what we're to do. Who does God call? The people God uses his church to call out to. And that's what we've got to get to. We've got to get back to realizing that when we surrender ourselves to the will of God, we will find ourselves in the best place that we could ever hope to be. They heard this and they said, what do we do? Peter said, repent. What's that mean? That means turn from the ways of your life right now. You know, there's so many people that I need to say that to. So many times I need to hear that from God's word myself. So many times I need to hear the word repent, David, Sally, and come back to the ways of God. Because friends, it's easy to get off the path. It's easy to find a stray path that's leading away from that good and holy way that only Jesus could walk, and to find ourselves straying farther and farther away from the will of God. We need to repent. The church needs to repent. We need to call the world to repent, and we need to quit telling the world that whatever they choose to be, that's okay with God, because it's not. 60-some different sexual orientations now? No, that's ludicrous. It's ridiculous, because my Bible says in the beginning he made them male and female. There are only two sexual ways that the God of heaven recognizes. You say, well, I don't agree with that. It doesn't matter if you agree with it or not. This is what the Bible says, and the Bible will never be proven wrong. You say, well, I don't like that kind of preaching. A lot of people don't. They didn't like John the Baptist calling them to repent. They didn't like Jesus calling their sin, sin. They didn't like the apostles going out into the world and saying, repent and be baptized and follow Jesus. The world's never liked the ways of God. I want to ask you, do you like the ways of God? Or better, do you love the ways of God? See, this is what's going on here in Acts. Peter's saying, repent. Repent of your ways and come to the ways of God. Why would Peter say that? Because humanity has free will. We have a choice to make. You can choose to do what's wrong, or you can choose to do what's right. What's right is what God has ordained and proclaimed. What's wrong is what he has prevented. We've got to make sure we get on the same page with him. This is very important today, and I think maybe more so even in this day in which we live. Friends, I believe with all my heart, I'm not trying to be an alarmist. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. I believe with all my heart we're right on the very cusp of the Lord taking his church out of this world. I believe that with all my heart. You say, are you saying it's going to happen tomorrow? No, I'm not saying it'll happen in the next year. I'm not saying it'll happen in the next decade. But I can say that I believe it's very close, because we're turning our back on God as a world. We're turning our back on God as a nation. The nation that is the United States of America. We're turning our back on the God, the only God who's ever been. And we're coming to a place of what we're calling irreconcilable differences. There's no such thing as an irreconcilable difference if both parties are in love with Jesus, because he brings unity where before there's been only barriers. Free will was with us from the very beginning of creation. Humanity had the opportunity to leave that tree alone and enjoy everything else. And we chose the one tree that was prohibited. And if you'll realize it, it's true in your life as well. The very few things that we chase after cause us to miss the more glorious and grand things that God has prepared for us. It's no different now. We have a whole world of good to choose from, and too many times we'll choose the very thing that God has prohibited. We need to get back with God and to do things His way. So when we're talking about free will, I want you to notice lastly with me this. We have free will even today in the midst of the church. These are the choices of the believer that we need to make sure we understand are real choices. And we have to make those choices because this is what the Word of God says. When we look at Romans chapter 12, this is a passage I know you have memorized, you have it in your heart. I mean, you know it, but it's something that I think we need to start practicing instead of just memorizing. Listen to what it says. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren. What's that mean, I appeal to you? It's really a very strong word that's very weakly rendered in English. Paul's saying, I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's to me and you. This is God, the Holy Spirit, speaking through the Apostle Paul and saying, I'm begging you. I'm begging you, church. You say, wait a minute, it doesn't say church. Yeah, it does. It says brothers. Brethren. Adelphoi. It's talking about those that are related and in kinship because of their relationship to Jesus Christ. It's talking about the church. I appeal to you, I beg you, church, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Holy is a beautiful word, but it's a word that's very often missed. Holy means set apart for God and God alone. If something's holy, it's set apart for a particular usage. If we're holy, we're set apart for the usage of God and nothing else. You say, now wait a minute, I'm not in vocational service to God. Yes, you are. Whatever you do, you're in vocational service to God. I don't care what it is or where you do it. Don't ever think that what you do means nothing to the kingdom, because what you do and where you do it means everything to the kingdom. He's begging us to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, because that's our spiritual act of worship. But then he says, do not be conformed to this world. Friends, if you're a person who watches any television at all anymore, you better be careful. Because television today is being used by Satan himself to alter the way you think and the way you view the world around you. Whenever we finally get back in church, I'm looking forward to starting a Sunday morning study about a worldview, how to have a proper worldview, and the church needs that. The church of Jesus Christ needs to have a proper worldview. But that's part of what this means here. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the world adjust your way of thinking. Don't let the 62 or 82 or however it is, sexual orientations, change your understanding that God has established two, male and female. And that's throughout biology. I don't care where you go. That's the way God designed it, and it will never change. So don't be conformed to the things of this world, but he says, be transformed, be changed, be renewed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is where we've got to get back to, church. It's got to get back. We've got to get back to the renewal of our mind, to be thinking God's thoughts after Him, as Augustine said. We've got to get to the understanding that the God of all creation, in the power, presence, and person of His Holy Spirit, has taken up residence in our body, in our mind. And we need to listen to Him more and more and more in these days. There's free will in the midst of the church. This is what Paul, directed by the Holy Spirit, wrote to people like us at Gravely. And he's saying, this is important. I'm begging you, by the mercies of God, present your bodies and your minds as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. Look with me in Colossians chapter 3. This is a glorious place to really think about free will and the free will that God has gifted us with. Now, Now, granted, I'm not going to say everything about free will that I want to say today. I don't have time. But this is the free will within the church, right in the midst of the church, that we've got to make sure we understand. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, if you have been raised with Christ, so that's basically saying if you're born again, okay? If you're a born-again person, seek the things which are above. Don't seek the things down here on the ground level, down here in the firmament of the world. No, seek the things that are glorious and high above, where Christ is, those things that are with Him as He's seated at the right hand of God. He says in verse 2, set your minds on things that are above. Think about heavenly things. Think about holy things. Because, friends, there's a whole lot out there now trying to sway your mind to think about the unholy things and the things that, can I just say it plain, are just filthy and dirty. You say, well, that's just your opinion. It's God's opinion, too. And I can prove that from the Bible. We're going after the things of this world with increasing rapidity anymore because we're failing to go after the things that are holy and good and righteous. Set your minds, he says, on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Look what he's telling us. Seek those things that are above. This is your choice. This is free will and exercise. This is what the Holy Spirit's saying. This is important. Seek the things that are above. Look what else he says in verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly. Notice your participation in that. The instruction is for you to put to death those things that are earthly. You're the one who needs to remove those. Listen, please don't miss this. God could remove every unholy thing out of your life in a moment. He could take you home. But you see, while you're here, you have a ministry. You have a mission. You have a glorious work that God has prepared for you that nobody can do quite as well as you can. And we need to be doing those things. We need to put to death those things in our life that are earthly, that are tearing us away and pulling us away from the holiness and the goodness that is God Almighty. Listen to what else he says. Look at verse 8. But now you must put them all away. What's he talking about? Well, things like anger, things like wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. These are things that we've got to make sure we're getting rid of out of our life. Anger that just wells up. Listen, I'm suffering through this right now. Some of the things I'm seeing on the television anymore, it just makes me mad. And I've got to realize that the things that are making me mad are the things that need the most grace. The things that are making me so angry are people that don't have God in their life. That's evident. People that don't have Jesus as their Savior, it's clear. People that don't have the Holy Spirit, and it's making me angry that they're doing things in this nation, and I need to realize that what they need is grace. They just need Jesus. They need to be born again. They need to surrender their lives to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Look what else he says. Look in verse 12. He says, put on then as God's chosen one. Notice this. God doesn't say, I will clothe you with. No, the Holy Spirit says to us, put on then as God's chosen ones. Holy and beloved, put on compassionate hearts. Put on kindness. Put on humility and meekness and patience. Bear with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Then look at verse 14. And above all these, put on love. You know, it doesn't matter if somebody's doing something that you don't agree with. You should make every effort to show them love. I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to you. We've got to help people see the love of Christ. And the only way we can let them see the love of Christ is when we exercise the love of Christ that's already in us and let it flow out of us onto those who we come in contact with. We've got to put on love above all. That's what it says in the very Word of God. Notice also, verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. This is free will. This is something that we've got to get back to. Bible reading, Bible meditation, Bible memorization. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Not only God who is the Word, but the Word that is the Bible. To let all that dwell in us richly and change us moment by moment, day by day, hour after hour, making us more and more like Jesus and less like Adam. Got to do these things. But then look how he wraps this little section up in verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, in language or action, whatever it is, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Next week, we're going to kind of keep going, but it's still going to be talking about free will. There's some people that are very eminent scholars, but great, great minds of God, R.C. Sproul being one. He's gone to be with the Lord now. But R.C. Sproul had some great theological insight, but he also missed the boat on a lot of it. We need to make sure we understand that. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, I can say it because here in the Bible, that's where I get my theology from. Free will, as some believe, that God's in control of everything, even down to causing people to sin, even predestinating those to be lost. The Bible never teaches that. And if you're a person who believes that, you need to repent of that because you're trying to be God. My God says that the elect are those He's chosen and made His very own, but it never says that some He's rejected and put them away and predestined them to hell. It never says that. The only way we can approach the world is to look at every soul and to realize that they're a person for whom Christ died, and that's it. That's as far as you can take it. And if your theological persuasions or your education take you farther than that, you've learned from somebody who didn't get it. You say, well, you think you are somebody. No, I know who I am. But I am a man who believes God's Word and trusts God's Word. Who can be saved? My Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My Bible says that Christ died for the sins of the world, not just for the elect. My Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever in that world would believe on that Son, they would have eternal life. Free will? Absolutely. But free will that gives true liberty is what we've been gifted by God to have. If you don't know Christ as your Savior today, I want to encourage you to please ask Him to do just that, to save you. The Bible says we've all sinned, we've all come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, you're going to die one day. Today we've got families in our church that are in mourning. Mike Barber's family, Mike went to be with the Lord 2 days ago. Last night, Ed Ragsdale passed out of this world into the presence of heaven, presence of God. How did they make that journey? Only by the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's it. If you're out there today and you're believing in any other way to get you to heaven, or you're just thinking you're good enough, and if somebody down the street's going, then surely you will. If you've not met Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're headed toward an eternal hell. I'll cry out to you just like John the Baptist cried out, just like Jesus cried out, just like Peter cried out, just like Paul cried out. Repent and believe the gospel. And church, for us today, it might be time, you know, here hopefully just in a few weeks, maybe a month or so, but whenever we'll be getting back together, we'll be able to go back out again. We need to be prepared to do the work God's called us to do with joy, with thanksgiving, and with praise, knowing that the God of heaven is our God, our Lord, and our soon coming King. Thank you for being with us today. I hope you'll come back and be with us. Next week we'll be live streaming again. At 11 o'clock. After that, we're going to be going week to week trying to figure out what we're going to do. I would imagine, and I'm just guessing right now, but I'm thinking at least for the next 2 Sundays, we'll still be live streaming. We know we will be next Sunday, but just check with our website the week following next Sunday, and we'll be trying to put things out and putting things out on our emails and things. But I'm looking forward to getting back together. seeing everybody. So be praying, drawing closer to God, and looking forward to the things that He's going to do. Would you pray with me as we close today? Father, how we thank You for a good day to be in Your house, Lord. And we thank You above all for Your Son who stepped out of heaven and stepped into this old world and went to a cross, Lord, to pay the penalty for my sins and for the sins of these that are with us this morning, the sins of the world. Lord, how we thank You that that death on the cross was sufficient for every soul that's ever been born. But Lord, how we regret the fact that it's only efficient for those